13, beginning in verse number 3, the Lord Jesus Christ gives this parable to the Pharisees and the scribes that are gathered there with Him. He says in verse 3, He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, we thank You this morning for the opportunity that's ours to fellowship with one another, Father, to sing, to give, to pray, and Father, now to hear from the precious Word of God. And I pray, Lord, You give each and every one of us something this morning from Your Word that would challenge us, excite us, and Father, draw us closer to Thee. We pray, Father, that You would bless this service this morning. We pray, should there be one today that's outside the fold, has never believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior, God, that today would be the day of their repentance and their salvation, being birthed into the family of God. We pray, Father, You would give that heart understanding as only You can give. And Father, for we that are already saved, may we rejoice in Your searching of us, Your seeking of us, and Father, most of all, Your finding of us. Bless Your Word to each and every heart, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Of all the animals in the Bible, and there are many, I tried to look it up, and this will tie over to the message, a different kind of message tonight, but of all the animals that are in the Bible, God chose a sheep as an illustration of us. Out of all the animals, now, you know, personally, I kind of wish He'd have picked a lion. But I guess that one's kind of taken, and the guy that took it, I guess I don't want to be likened to, so we won't worry about that. Maybe a bear. I don't want to be big and grizzly or anything like that, but just something with power, something with might. Even an eagle. Now, there's, you know, a verse that mounting up with wings as eagles, but even something like that would be something to be proud of. But of all the animals in the Bible that God mentions from A to Z, when He picked out one animal to liken you and I, that He mentions more than any other animal in the Bible, He said that we are like sheep. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 100, verse 3, we are the sheep of His pasture. And so that God saw fit, out of all the animals that there were, God saw fit to liken us unto a sheep. Now, there's part of that that I like. The part that I like is of every sheep, He has to have a shepherd. And I'm glad that the Bible tells me that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. If I'm going to be a sheep, I want a good, a wise, a protective, a providing shepherd. And what shepherd could we have any better than the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the Bible says in Psalm chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So one good thing of being a sheep is that we've got a good shepherd. In fact, not only a good shepherd, but Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 says, He is the great shepherd of the sheep. He's a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. There could be no better shepherd than Jesus Christ. Now think about that. We're going to talk about this sheep and his wandering away. Why would you wander away from a good shepherd, a great shepherd? In fact, the Bible, even one other time speaking about His second coming, calls Him the chief shepherd. Jesus Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. So we go back to Luke chapter 15 and we see this story of a shepherd and sheep. And we understand that as Jesus taught this parable, it was not just the story about which He was talking about a shepherd that leaves the 99 and goes find the one that's wandered away. But there is an illustration here of us as sheep and Him as the shepherd. So let's consider some things from Luke chapter 15 that the Bible tells us about ourselves. Folks, we're sheep. Every one of us. Now, the Bible says sometimes there are wolves in sheep's clothing. One of these days, God is going to separate the Bible from right hand to left hand, the goats from the sheep. So sometimes in the flock, mingle in some wolves. Sometimes in the flock, mingle in some goats. But basically, God speaks of us collectively as sheep. You know, one thing I don't know what this means or if it means anything, but one thing I thought about as I was thinking about this message is if you have one cat, you've got a cat. You've got two cats, you've got cats. Dog, dogs, cow, cows, sheep. You don't have sheeps. All right? It's one, it's all, they're all the same thing. There is a collective spirit to sheep. one is never singled out. And if one is ever singled out in Scripture, it's usually a dangerous thing. Now keep that in your mind as we talk about us being the sheep of His pasture. We are a collective group. When we get thinking one of us doesn't need the collective group, we're in trouble. And that's what happens in Luke chapter 15. Let's think about sheep this morning. Number one, the Bible says in verse number 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them? If he lose one of them. Now, can I say this? That's the way it's worded, but the sheep was not lost because the shepherd lost him. The sheep was lost because he wandered away from the shepherd. You got that? The shepherd was there. The shepherd was protective. But the sheep wandered away. The sheep of its own will. The sheep of his own decision, of his own volition, decided to wander away from the other 99. Did you know it's said that sheep are not the smartest of all animals? In fact, if you were to Google it or whatever you were and type in the smartest of animals, they tell us the smartest animal is a chimpanzee. Now, the evolutionists love that for obvious reasons, but that is supposed to be the smartest of all. The second smartest is the bottleneck dolphin. Of course, we always see how they teach them things and all that kind of stuff. The third smartest animal, we'll have a quiz on this later, the third smartest animal is an elephant. And I forget why. No. Some of you got that. And the fourth smartest animal is a parrot. And you could go, I went through the top 10, I just got those down, but I went through the top 10 and I was looking for the sheep. I didn't find it, so I decided, well, I'll type in the dumbest 10 animals. And as soon as I typed it in, there's a whole bunch of pictures off of, you know, YouTube or something, and there staring me face to face was a sheep. And so I thought about, now God, I'm insulted. Out of all the animals you could have picked, I mean, a chimpanzee really isn't one I'd wanted to be likened to. An elephant, I wouldn't have been crazy about, but there had to be something better than a sheep, one of the dumbest of the animals. And our text indicates that this animal is not too bright because he wandered away from the shepherd. He wandered away from the fold. The animal is not too bright that would wander away from the protection and the provision of the shepherd. Now, folks, I know if you're like me, you say, wait a minute, God, I'm not dumb. I mean, I graduated high school. I went on to college for a little while. Why is it when we want to talk dumb, we talk like that? I don't know what that does. But we're a little bit taken back. Can I say this? It's not talking about our intellectual IQ. It's talking about our spiritual IQ. Folks, spiritually, man is dumb as a sheep. Wandering away from the protection of the fold. Wandering away from the shepherd, the only one that can protect him and guide him and do that. And yet, wandering away, just kind of like, we'd say like a deer in the headlights. This sheep just not paying attention to anything going around, just thinking about himself and his own comfort and his own direction and his own way and his own will, and he wanders away from the shepherd. I think we'd have to agree that's not too bright. From USA Today magazine from July of 2005. Something happened in eastern Turkey in the Van province near Iran. 20 families were together and they got all their sheep together, these nomadic people. They got all their sheep together. They were taking their lunch break and sitting down eating lunch while these 1,500 sheep were out there mulling around together. And as they sat off at a distance just watching these sheep, one of the sheep wandered off and fell off a 50-foot cliff. Right after that one wandered and fell off, the next one wandered and fell off. And the third one won. They all followed the one and fell off. And by the time it was done, 1,500 sheep had fallen 50 feet off that cliff. The first 400 died from suffocation of the next 1,100 falling on top of them. That's not a bright animal. That's not it. And you know how I know we're like that? Tell me this never happened in your life. If everybody else jumped off a cliff, would you jump off a cliff too? I remember my parents saying that. I remember saying that as a parent. We are just like sheep. And the Bible tells us that just like those sheep, God uses us as that illustration to show us how we are when it comes to God. We're not really bright. Man wants to come up with all these remedies and these plans. We want to get to the outer space and find out what's on Jupiter and Mars and Saturn, and we want to find out the depths of the sea and all this kind of, oh, that's all fun. But you know, God just sits up there and says, you're my sheep. And if you hear my voice and follow me, everything will be fine. But if you're going to wander away on your own, you're in trouble. If you're going to turn away from me, you're in trouble. If you're going to walk away from me, you're in trouble. And so I can understand, though it's not a compliment to call us sheep, I understand that when God looks at us, He says we're just like them. We're not too bright. We want to brag about our education. We want to talk about how smart we are. And I understand that in the natural realm. We don't want to be referred to as being dumb, but sheep are dumb animals. And they're dumb because they don't know what's good for them. They don't know where their protection comes from. They don't know where their provision lies. And mankind is exactly like a sheep. Look at a second thing here, if you would, in Luke chapter 15. Not only are the sheep dumb, and notice how I said a lot about that before I threw the word out there. That was on purpose. If I would have started just by saying, God called you a sheep because you're dumb, half of you probably would have got up and walked out. Thought, no, yeah, I knew you wouldn't have done that. But that was, so we went around a different direction. But notice the second thing. The Bible says in verse number 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? He leaves the 99 in the fold and goes after that which is lost. Sheep are not only dumb, but they're directionless. They're directionless. A sheep left to itself walks into disaster. A sheep left to itself walks off a 50-foot cliff. A sheep left to itself in Luke 15 wanders away from the sheepfold out on its own into a place of danger. He leaves the security behind and goes into a place of danger. Sheep are directionless. You know what the Bible says? Look back at Isaiah chapter 53, and I think we looked at this last week. But this is a good verse for us to get down. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6. Again, is God referring to us as sheep? The Bible says in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6, all we like sheep. All right, again, we can't miss it. God calls us sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You know what the saddening thing is as a pastor? Is watching people turn to their own way. People that you believe are saved, have trusted Christ as their Savior, but after they get in the fold, they just determine, well, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do what I want to do. And you can't stop them. You can't tie them down. You can't hog tie them and tell them, no, that's not good for you. You can warn them and say everything you want. But they say, I'm just going to do it my way. And every time the sheep goes off on his own, he's directionless. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. This desire to be my own man, my own person. I want to be an individual. I understand to a certain extent there's some good things about that. But you understand the problem with the sheep is he's independent, not from others, but independent from God. The phrase that scares me the most, and I've heard it more times than I want to remember, I know what the Bible says, but. I remember one time I was in an apartment with a couple saying, trying to help with the husband and wife there, and the wife said, I know what the Bible says, but, and chills literally just went up and down my body the minute she spoke that, because I thought, there is not a more dangerous statement in the world you can say than I know what the Bible says, but, I've always been taught, but, I think, or but, my friends say, that's a dangerous place to be. That's what happens to the sheep that gets away from the fold. They do it because they're directionless. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have gone everyone to his own way. It's that very thought that led the Baptist preacher, Robert Robinson, in 1757 to write the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And one of the verses, the fourth verse of that song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You know why? You know why that's our, you know why that's in us? Because we're sheep. And without the shepherd, we are directionless. And too many times as Christians, too many times as God's sheep, we decide, well, I'm going to find my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to make my own decisions. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Folks, we've lost fact of the reality that God wants to give us direction. In everything that we do, in every part of our life, in every decision that we make, God wants to give us direction. But we spend more time asking other people than we do asking God. We spend more time consulting friends and relatives and neighbors and Facebook than we do asking God. Then we make a decision that doesn't take us closer to God, but out like a sheep away from the fold, away from the shepherd, away from His protection, away from His provision, away from His love, till He has to come out there and search for us and find us all over again. I wonder how many times you and I have caused the shepherd to have to leave some behind, figuratively speaking, to come out and seek us all over again because we've walked away from His protection. We sing the song, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Why do we do that? Because of ourselves. We are directionless. We can make plans. You can talk to a young person, what are you going to plan to do with your life? Well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. You know what the best, you know, if you go to a junior or senior in high school or a junior and senior in college and say, what are your plans for life? I've never had this happen. You know what the best thing they could tell you is? To stay close to God and stay in church the rest of my life. You say, no, they're talking about what they want to do in, no, that's the best thing they could do. People talk about, what's the will of God for me? You know, I want to find the will of God for my life. You know what the will of God is? Not to be a doctor or a lawyer or a nurse or a mechanic. Now, that might be your vocation in life, but the will of God for you is to stay close to the shepherd, is to not wander away from Him. Then everything else will fall into place. Then you'll get your right direction. If a young person or anybody says, I want to find the will of God for my life, then you just do what you know is right to do. You get in church, you get around God's people, you listen to the preaching of the Word, you read your Bible, you pray, you do what you know is right, and God will lead you and give you and direct your path. But a sheep, have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way and walk off a 50-foot cliff and lead 1,499 or whatever it is, other ones behind him. That's the sheep. He's directionless. Number three, sheep are defenseless. Some animals have been designed by God with features of self-preservation. There are animals that you don't dare pick up or touch because God, though they might be a small creature, God has designed them in such a way that they have protective features in them. There's a certain brand of frog called a horror frog. That intentionally, I was talking with my daughter Erin about this, intentionally breaks its own legs, like by the ankle, if you can call a frog an ankle. You can say he has an ankle. This frog breaks, if he's under attack, if a predator comes, he's able to break his own bones, and right there where his leg was, out come two claws like cats. And he's able to defend himself. God has designed a frog. It's called a hairy frog. I wonder why. There's got to be something to that look. But it's called, and it's designed, God has designed it with an element of protection. Another one is the bombardier beetle. The bombardier beetle is able to spray boiling hot and chemically toxic body fluids in the direction of a predator. I'm a little bit bigger than a bombardier beetle, but I don't think I'd want to mess with that guy. God has designed him that his body does something, has some feature for self-protection. There's a certain kind of fish in the Pacific called a hagfish that gives off a slime and an ooze and a goo. When another predator comes after it, it gives out this goo that just envelops, encompasses whatever's after it, and it just suffocates in this goo that this fish gives out. God designed it that way. And then there's the soldier ant. And I'm not sure why it works, but a soldier ant, if he knows a predator's coming and he's going to die, he explodes. I would call it a terrorist ant, I think. But it's called the soldier, and he's got something in his glands that he can secrete this thing, and if he knows this thing's going to take him out, he does this function, and he blows up, and he waits till that predator is close enough so that when he blows up, that thing blows up too. Now my daughter said, well, that's not very protective. I said, you think when the other animals know that that happens, they're going to come near that soldier ant? God has designed many animals with self-protection. Now, we know about the bear and the lion. Nobody's going to mess with it. But here are some insignificant creatures that God's created that have defensive weapons at their disposal. But what about a sheep? What does a sheep do when a predator comes? You know, a sheep, talk about dumb, has a one-word vocabulary. Bah. If he's happy and content, it's bah. If he's frightened, it's bah, 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 bah. It's the same word no matter what. He's not very bright. I think that's why God calls us sheep. We're not really bright. And here's this sheep. He's got no way to defend himself, no way to protect himself. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not like that. I can protect myself. Not in the spiritual realm. And again, we're talking about the spiritual realm. You can be the best boxer, you could take on Muhammad Ali in his prime. You can't take on the devil. You can't take on your own flesh. Much less some of the other things that are in this world. And you and I need to come to the point that we recognize as sheep that we are dumb. It benefits us spiritually to recognize that as sheep, we are spiritually dumb without God. We are dependent. We need that shepherd. We need to understand that we're directionless without God. We can't go our own way and make our own decisions without causing disaster for us and everybody around us. We try to explain life and world situations sometimes. You say, why in Ethiopia was there such great famine and great all that? Well, they killed their Christian king many years ago because they didn't like his way of ruling them as a Christian nation. And when they made that decision, other things around it happened because of that. When you and I do things, it doesn't just affect us. It affects when we walk off that cliff, the next one walks over the cliff. And the next one walks over the cliff. We endanger others when we don't follow the shepherd's direction. We need to recognize that. And we need to understand how defenseless we are. Folks, can I say this? We need the fold. We need the sheepfold. And can I say it? That's the church. I am tired of people disparaging the church. I'm tired of people saying there's no value to the church. You want to be a lone wolf or a lone sheep? You go ahead. Here's a lone sheep in Luke chapter 15. He wandered off away from the fold, defenseless. And when the devil came at him, if the devil comes at him, he's got nothing to do to fight for himself. He's got no weapons of self-protection. He can't do it on his own. He needs the shepherd, but the shepherd's back there with the fold. The shepherd's back there in the protection. He has to leave that to come out and find that one and take him back to the fold. It's always back to the fold. And these independent believers that say, I just don't need the fellowship of the church and I don't need to be there. I can do this on my own. You'll fail as a Christian. Brother Hamblin said this, I wrote it down. No Christian can thrive and no Christian can survive without the fellowship of the church. And that even bears repeating. No Christian can thrive and no Christian can survive without the fellowship of the church. I've been at this thing for many years. I've been saved going on 40 years this year. And I thank God for the church. I thank God for every church that I've been a part of and a member of because it's been a blessing and an encouragement to me. The fellowship helped me. You can't take those people to work with you on Monday and through your responsibilities of the week, but thank God on Sunday morning, I always said this when I worked a secular job, Wednesday night was my favorite service of the week. Because after working in the world Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, hump day or no hump day, when it came to Wednesday night, I needed something more than anything else, and that was a shot in the arm by being around God's people. And I'll just say this, I'll just say it simply, I don't know how you thrive and how you survive in your Christian life without a Wednesday night church service. And I pretty much know how things go if you don't have that middle of the week service, that shot in the arm, that pump up, getting away from the fold. The sheep are dumb. The sheep are directionless. The sheep are defenseless. And that's the way you are. That's why God picked sheep to describe us. Because that's exactly how we are. And then number four, lastly, sheep are dependent. You know, sheep can't take care of themselves. Sheep can't defend themselves. Sheep can't choose the right direction. They're dependent on the shepherd for everything they have and everything they are. Those sheep are just big, oversized animals with a lot of fur, a lot of, is that what they call it, fur? What's it on a sheep? Wool. I'm a city boy, remember? There's that big old sheep with all that wool on it, and the bigger the wool gets and the more they fat up the sheep, he can't protect himself from anything. He is completely useless outside the protection of the shepherd. And folks, I know you've got good points, and I know you love God, and I know you're trying to do your best, but can we just recognize that without the shepherd, we are nothing? Without the shepherd, we are vulnerable to the world, the flesh, and the devil. We need him to defend us. We are dependent upon him. Notice what it says in verse number 5 of Luke chapter 15. It says about that sheep that was lost, "And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing." The shepherd enjoys protecting and providing for the sheep. Why doesn't the sheep enjoy the protection and the provision of the shepherd? Look back at Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we've talked about already. "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. I wonder if you can say that this morning. Are you allowing him to give you direction? Are you willing to be dependent on him? Is he really your shepherd, or is the world your shepherd? Is your bank account your shepherd? Is the security of those people whom you know your protection? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Look at verse 2. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty nice to me. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Now, he's not talking about after you die. He's talking about in this life. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You know what the world will give you? A dead field. You know what society has to offer? Dried up, rotten, parched ground. You know what the Lord gives? Green pastures. Why would any sheep wander away from a green pasture to go into a dry, parched ground? But one of them did it in Luke chapter 15, didn't he? And there's people doing it all the time right now today. Walking out of the protective fold of God. Walking away from the shepherd. Going out to take on the world by themselves. And mark it down every single time they find disaster. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." You don't want to go through the storm. You don't want to go through the tempest. You don't want to go through the raging of the winds and the waters. You want a still water. And so God takes this sheep, he as the shepherd. He makes him to lie down in green pastures. He leads him beside still waters. And what does the sheep do? Bah! I don't want that. I want what's out there. I don't want what you've provided here. I want what I see out there. And so the dumb sheep walks away from the provision of the shepherd and the protection of the shepherd and walks out there only to find heartbreak and disaster. Oh, maybe not right off the bat. No, maybe there's some glory for a while. I mean, that sheep that wanders off says, "Look at me. Look at me. I'm on my own. I'm on my own 4 feet. I'm having a good time out here on my own." And for a while, it's not too bad until all of a sudden nightfall comes and it doesn't know where the fold is and doesn't know how to get back to protection. Or feeding time comes and it has no ability to feed itself. Or the night comes and he hears the wolves out there howling, and all of a sudden the shepherd that was his protection at night is no longer around. Oh, for a while it's fine, but then eventually the reality sinks in. I was better back with the shepherd. The Lord said, I am the good shepherd. Turn, if you would, lastly over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. This is what it's all about. The Lord wants to be your shepherd. Would you recognize and admit, yes, I'm a sheep. You don't want to say it, but in the context of how we say it, yes, I'm dumb. Spiritually, I'm dumb. The best of us, spiritually, on our own, are dumb. We are dependent on God. We're directionless and we're defenseless without the shepherd. Why wouldn't we follow Him? Why don't you follow Him? That's the question to ask. Why don't you follow? Because you think you're smarter than a sheep. You think you can get your own way just fine without Him. You can protect yourself. You don't need Him. You don't realize you're dependent on the sheep. John chapter 10, verse number 4. John chapter 10, verse 4. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them. And the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. That's our shepherd. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes before us. I don't want a shepherd that's back there driving the herd. I want a shepherd that's out there leading the herd. He goes out and he says, all right, I've checked the terrain out. Here's the green pasture. I've looked at the topography of this place over here. Here's the still water. He's checked it out ahead of time. He knows the safe place for the sheep to go. All I've got to do is follow Him. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? All we've got to do as sheep is follow Him. But, there's that but. But all we like sheep have gone astray. And we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Bible tells us because of that, the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. We're like sheep. And the Bible says that the Lord in Luke chapter 15, when that shepherd goes out, He finds that sheep and He puts it up on His shoulders. He carries that sheep back to the fold. He becomes its protection. He becomes its provision. He shows it its path when the sheep is dependent on the shepherd. I wonder this morning, is the Lord your shepherd? Is He the one that's giving you direction? Is He the one you're allowing to defend you in this world and His life? This world will eat you up and spit you out. You go after, that's why the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You consume yourself with the things in this world and not the things of God, it'll chew you up and spit you out when it's done. But the Lord is our shepherd. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.